girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike. Welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Wing.
And I'm John the Lobster. The world is terrifying right now. There's a pandemic, everything is canceled, and people are hoarding toilet paper. So, why not watch a movie about a priest who turns into a dinosaur and fights ninjas? Admit it, it's not the craziest thing you've heard this week. The Velocipastor started as an autocorrect fail and grew into a full-fledged cult cinema hit. And if the creator has anything to say about it, it will become the next great cinematic universe. But is this gleefully low-budget horror comedy the savior we've been waiting for, or is it extinct on arrival, gentlemen?
B.
I mean, it's at least worth the giggles you'll get from some parts of it.
Do something else at the same time and it's great. Don't watch that alone. Don't watch that in your normal state of mind, please.
What movie does this remind me of that we did fairly recently?
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
Like it's literally a low budget movie that knows it's a low budget movie, that doesn't care that it's a low budget movie, and just goes for it.
Well, it clearly doesn't care.
No, I mean they're having fun with it, and it felt as bad as Thanksgiving, but acted less worse.
Yeah, I think the acting was better.
I liked her. She was fun, and the dude kind of looked like
Dexter.
Yes, a young what's his face? Mike, is that Michael? No, I was gonna say Michael C. Hall.
It is Michael C. Hall.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is he the same guy that was in 6 Feet Under?
What? Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Dexter is in 6 Feet Under.
Yes. 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 He looked like a young him then.
And the
I can see that.
The thing that this movie does that I think better than Thanksgiving is it like the plot actually makes sense if you buy it, right? Like I think Thanksgiving, like the turkey dresses up as the dead sheriff father and like fools them and they're like, oh, whereas this one it's like, all right, well, you know, at least to a certain
it's just
degree,
a we dude that changes into a
we buy into it, and yes, it has title cards that say "insert visual effects here," but it
in
knows
the first,
it does
like,
right.
4 minutes
of
the movie,
literally, yeah.
Wow, but yeah, this movie hopefully is not taking itself seriously. It should not. And most of the actors seem to understand in which movie they are.
Right, they get it. Yeah.
Yeah, so that already helps. The actress and the main actress is acting her ass off like this role is going to save her life, though.
Yep.
She's trying. You can't fault her.
So one of the things, though, that this movie is really fun is it has some amazing scenes of overacting as well. Like there are some death scenes, there are some like last minute speeches and things like that are, I mean, Oscar caliber, right?
Oh yes,
I mean the,
yes, the, wait until we get to the costume department,
the flashback to the Vietnam War, right?
I love how it's always like the same forest and they're just like China or Vietnam.
I'm pretty sure this was filmed in
Vancouver,
Stroudsburg, PA, but
actress is from Cranford, New Jersey.
New Jersey, and she's a Jersey girl.
She is in High Fidelity, the TV series coming out. Uh-huh. That's out right now.
Did you look at her IMDb page, Beef?
I searched her name right now, and I am seeing that, yes, she is on there.
Yeah. I think I remember the episode that she's in. She's the character who tries to buy a CD, and they're like, no, we're not going to sell you that CD because it's stupid.
Oh, so they shit on her like Jack Black does?
Yep.
I got
that
you.
That is the scene. Yep.
You shared a thing in GroupMe about, it was like the first trailer. That's a completely different VelociPastor, isn't it?
So this started as the director's, well, it started as the director trying to send a text message. I don't know why he was texting someone the word Velociraptor, but it auto-corrected to VelociPastor, and thus history was made. And that was his inspiration. But he was in film school in New York City at the time and had to do a student film. So he made a fake Grindhouse-style trailer for a movie called The VelociPastor, which literally is this movie, including like the main characters' names and the basic premise and setup of the story.
Wow.
And some lines are lifted straight from it too.
Listen, you tell me this is a student project idea that I can't see. That was my reaction to this. How did this get so big?
How did it get funded? So he did a Kickstarter and then Seed and Spark, I think it's called, which is like a filmmaker's crowdsourcing, and neither one made enough money, so he ended up, like, a friend of a friend, like, gave him $35,000 basically to make the movie. And it has done well in, like, the film festival circuit for, like, these types of movies, like, I don't know, midnight movie screenings and things like that. And then it's on Amazon and I think Tubi or Vudu or one of the other sites that you can watch streaming for free. At one point, it was rated higher on IMDb than The Lighthouse, which I know this because I followed. Yeah, so I followed the director on Twitter and then tweeted him to join our podcast, which he did not respond to. So he had been tweeting like, "Oh, like here's this show, this movie is people like better than The Lighthouse." I guess he really likes The Lighthouse too, so that's fine. But
wow, how much does that cost? You said $35,000.
$35,000. You're looking at right here.
You know what? Knowing that, that's a pretty well made movie for $35,000. God damn it.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay.
I honestly enjoyed watching this, and like I alluded to at the beginning of the show, I mean, the world is insane right now, and mainstream movies are getting canceled left and right and put on streaming services and whatnot, and the fact that this movie exists and it's what we chose to watch, like, that's pretty awesome.
It's definitely a sign of the times.
It is a sign of the times.
It's clearly a sign of the times because we chose to watch this movie because I was supposed to be drunk as shit with beef watching this.
God doesn't want to kill people. No, I think God wants to kill a lot of people.
Yeah, that line is in both the trailer and the movie.
And the movie, yeah.
I think that's a good line, too.
You guys had plans this weekend. You were supposed to be together, right?
Leaving the country right now is something very difficult.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think this does what these types of movies are meant to do. I mean, I'm pointing at Sharknado and this kind of cinema of the absurd where, like, you just take a stupid, stupid idea and have fun with it, right? Like, that's, I think, why a lot of people get into movies. And the only difference between this and, I don't know, Human Centipede or whatever is budget, right?
Yeah, I've seen Yoga Hoser. Come on.
Yes, we did see Yoga Hoser.
If you give enough money to somebody that's stoned enough, you're going to get these kind of movies.
Sure.
What can I say?
This isn't really going for, like, cinematic glory and genius, but I don't think that's what they ever shot or intended to, so that's okay.
I mean, no, but then that's the question we had. This or The Room?
Or what?
This or The Room, he's saying. Hmm. So the Tommy Wiseau famously bad movie. And he put a lot of, I think he put more than 35 grand in that, right?
Yep.
So I would say this one. Because this knows what it is. The thing about The Room is it never really decided what it was. Whereas I feel like, huh?
Indeed, you're right.
Where I feel like this movie knows exactly what it is and exactly what it wants to say. And I would point to a scene pretty early in the movie where the character Doug Jones, who is in fact named for the actor Doug Jones, who does all the makeup work like Pan's Labyrinth and The Shape of Water and Star Trek Discovery, kind of as an allusion towards his costume. But he asks Carol, like, do you have something I can wear? And he goes out in an orange sweater mini dress.
It's awesome.
Which is, of course, that scene is in, like, every movie. Oh, do you have something I can wear? And then, yeah, this is what you can wear.
Right, the skimpiest hooker thing possible.
Yep. Well, that's what she has. She's a hooker, but she's also pre-med law.
And a ninja.
Yeah, she was sneakily a ninja.
Not a great ninja.
Still.
She does get chopped in half, but she's fine.
You know, yeah, you're right, she was.
Yeah. But, you know, this movie knows exactly what it is because it does not have enough money to give you a sex scene. So it gives you a very not sensual arm scene.
That scene also re-shows you half the movie.
Yes, it does.
Like,
I was like,
in like flashback.
It's like they just need an extra 10 minutes here. So they're going to cut out everything and remind you what happened before.
Yeah. Which I really dug that scene. Like, I thought that was good. I thought that was well done.
Oh my God.
So apparently a sequel has been written, which I hope to God, in whatever post-apocalyptic world we have on the other side of this, we get to see it.
Move to bigger and better things. If people notice you, well, who would hire? Yeah, okay.
I mean, Sam Raimi, come on.
Yeah, that's true. But on the other end, no offense, but...
Sam Raimi.
the original Evil Dead or the original Brain Dead are better than this. And... they were made for peanuts also. Sure. I mean, the only movie I'm thinking of that people think was cheaper than that was Clerks, but you see the original version of Clerks versus the $300,000 version of Clerks that people are used to see. There's a reason why we only see the $300,000 version. But how much did they spend on that suit?
I think you can get them for like $29.99 at Party City, but
nowadays, you know, this was a few years ago, so it was maybe $200.
I doubt that. I doubt
it did look
that.
Bad, but I didn't expect it to be like, wow, that looked like Jurassic Park. You know what I mean? Right. I never expected to be fooled by the dinosaur.
Clearly.
You didn't expect it to look better than a movie made almost 30 years ago.
Hmm. See, when you say it like that...
Right.
Crazily enough, the first Jurassic Park still has the best special effect of the
series.
It does,
yeah.
Yeah, because they took the time to do it, and they wanted to fool you, and once they sold you fucking dinosaurs
and
were
also,
real, you know what I mean?
They also told you without showing, like, there's only, 10 minutes of actual... effect shots in the movie.
They also did a lot of, you know, like you're saying, a practical arm or something without showing you the whole fucking thing, and you knew because you saw the one shot. Yeah, it was.
Yep.
Bastards.
Yep.
So, shall we do the thing?
I think we should.
This movie makes me smile, just like my wartime buddy Ollie. How long has it been since your last confession? Wait, we didn't even talk about shit.
Go ahead. Let's talk about Chet.
The mermaid. Frankie Mermaid.
Because I'm swimming in bitches.
For Velocipaster, Wing, are you going legendary?
Good Lord.
Legend of its time.
Dynamite.
Cult legend.
Jurassic Priest.
Awesome.
I love you. You love me. Let's eat some ninjas, family.
Entertaining.
She's fine.
Mabel.
Insert VFX shot here.
Forgettable.
Catholic massacre.
Abysmal.
The Passion of the Jesus Christ, what the fuck did I just watch?
Spring Breakers D&D.
Nuns with Guns.
With a Side of Nostalgia, Guilty Pleasure, Tingle, Barf, Tears.
With the Side of That Dinosaur Suit They Sell at Party City.
Oh my god. Oh, I'm gonna give this a... Mayable, unfortunately. Insert VFX shot ear. It's not just bad enough. It's like... almost novel, but at the same time, it's cheap enough that I'm like, huh? So, this would be a great short. But the 70-minute
Well, it is a great short. It, like, the short film is actually really good.
Well, there you go. The 70-minute mark, I think, weighed on this thing. So, that's why I'm going mayable. It would be entertaining if it was 45-minute, 30-minute, you know? So. Yep, a solid Mabel with a big side of Party City. Beef?
I think I got to go one lower than you and go with Catholic Massacre. It's a little bit more forgettable for me with a big side of the Dino Suit Party City thing.
Sure.
I enjoyed parts of it, and parts like the idea was kind of fun, but I don't know. All in all, it was just a... crappy low budget horror flick where, you know, it held some of my interest, but am I gonna remember it 2 weeks from now? Probably not. So Catholic Massacre. I'd still watch. That doesn't mean I wouldn't watch it again though sometime while being extremely inebriated with friends.
Sure.
Lobster.
Oh, I need a 1.75 ruling on this one, guys. but I'm gonna round up. She's fine. I think this movie is fine for being exactly what it is and no more, because it is an entertaining, tight 70 minutes of what the fuck is going to happen next. Like, literally, what stupid shit is this movie going to throw at me? I did not see the twist that Frankie Mermaid killed his parents. I did not see that...
And just the
you
way
should have, though. That's like
you didn't
Joker,
see.
Right?
And the way he tells the story, and he's like, yeah, there's this guy crying there like I just killed his parents or something. And then I did not see the wartime flashback coming and the death, the explosive death of Adeline. She must have been looking to start a family. And then I did not... definitely did not see the final twist coming that the ninja henchman is actually his brother, and there's these flashbacks.
You're my only son.
And it's like, what? It's so insane. But I don't know. Like, I just totally appreciate this movie for giving no fucks and taking no fucks. You know what I mean? Like, it just goes for it. And clearly, it's not a great movie, but it's an entertaining movie. It is solidly fine, and you know, I don't think it's going to win any awards, but I think it deserves like the Gutsy Award or something like that. Like, it is what it is, and that's fine. I don't expect any more from it. A movie with a title called The Velocipastor. What did you expect? Like, really? So I am happy to close the book on this and say, now I definitely want to cosplay as the Velocipastor at some point.
Yeah, but you want the half version, which is the end.
Right. No. I want the like bottom half dinosaur, top half person, right?
Yep. Yeah, of course you want the bottom half. Like, yeah. You're it. What is it in Predator? I'm a goddamn sexual Tyrannosaurus.
Yes, yeah. A Tyrannosaurus.
Thank you. Yep.
Tyrannosaurus.
Yep.
Yes.
There we go.
Last word on Velocipastor, fellas.
Amen.
Amen as well.
Preach.
That's church, yo. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
is the quarantine edition.
So how's the box office?
So the box office doesn't exist.
Well, it does. It's just zero.
It's zero.
The worst box office of all time.
It is, because all the movie theaters are closed. So the last day that we have data on is Wednesday, when 300,000 came in at the box office in the U.S. That's, like, it's pure... I mean, this has never happened, right? Like, we're in uncharted territory. Obviously, movies are a big, big part of our life, a big part of our show. So a lot of what we're going to tell you about is stuff that you're not going to see for a while or stuff that you're getting early on streaming at home, right? But first, we have some sad news. Rest in peace to the musician Kenny Rogers.
We're not watching one of his movies. I'm just
who passed away. But given the state of our current crisis, he knew when to hold them and he knew when to fold them.
Fuck yeah.
Pun intended.
Pun intended. Absolutely. So we'll flip around with some better news. So one of our favorite apocalyptic films, of course, Shaun of the Dead. You have to have a plan. What's the plan? Simon Pegg and Nick Frost did a fun little video where they updated their plan from that Shaun of the Dead bit,
so
including some self-deprecating humor and some call-outs to some other stuff. But a lot of fun there. Definitely look up the video on the YouTubes.
Nice.
Obviously, the coronavirus pandemic has had a lot of negative effects on Hollywood. I don't know if we'll really have a full accounting of this until the dust settles. Some estimates say something like 120,000 jobs have been lost or put on hold because of this. Drive-in movie theaters may be making a comeback, which is kind of an interesting way in the social distancing world that you could get out of your house and go see a movie as long as you stay in your car.
That's brilliant.
That'd be great. The snack bar
is closed. Bring your own snacks. But, you know, I find the problem is with a double feature, you have to go to the bathroom at some point. So just bring a bucket. It's fine. I grew up near a drive-in movie theater. I have fond memories. So
many good memories,
I hope they stay in business for many years to come. Kind of one of my bucket list dreams, if I win the lotto, would be to open one. So
I think that'd be great. And like have an apartment right on top of the projector building where you sell all the candy. And then,
the way to do it. Okay, so we have some date changes for you. So Universal.
Everything.
unfortunately. So there's just so much uncertainty. One of the interesting things, though, here is Universal is delaying Minions, Rise of Gru, because they're not yet able to finish their post-production work. They had to send everyone home. So, you know, that's too bad. Warner Brothers just announced today they're pushing back the release of Wonder Woman 1984 to late summer. So August would be the earliest we get to see this.
I knew they wouldn't release that on streaming because that's the only thing that makes them money.
I know.
That's what I get.
Yeah. So that's a bummer. Bad Boys for Life, Bloodshot, Onward, and Sonic the Hedgehog have joined the list of movies that are getting an early digital release. Onward is actually coming to Disney Plus on April 3rd. I believe you can rent it now, but it'll be coming soon too. And the movie theaters, on the other hand, are probably not going to forgive studios for moving films like Trolls World Tour that haven't come out theatrically yet to digital release only. Paramount's The Lovebirds, starring Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae, will move to Netflix instead of a theatrical release. So again, you're seeing a lot of shifting towards streaming video on demand with so much uncertainty.
Yeah, well, the movie theater can be like, bleh, if they want. The thing is that the studio needs to find a way to survive if they want to still make movie to put in the movie theater at some point, so...
Right, and I figure a lot of these are locked in, either contractually with a certain release window. I'm sure there are rights situations. I'm sure actors have already gone on press tours and promoted the film. So, I mean, they kind of have to release them when they can release them and hold on to, you know, as Kenny Rogers said, no when to hold them, no when to fold them. So,
yep.
Beef, why don't you tell us some good news?
The actor that did Peter B. Parker's voice in Spider-Man Spider-Verse, Jake Johnson, has volunteered to leave personalized voicemails for kids affected by the coronavirus. You can, like, hit him up on his Twitter account, I believe it was. And, yeah, I mean, I think this is super cool. I was just going to say, I want to do, like, just send myself one.
Yeah, that'd, I think that's pretty cool.
Be great.
Did
you see the Tom Hanks and his lady there, you know, hanging out or
Rita
whatever?
Wilson?
Yeah. Did you see that she was reading Ender's Game in that video that they posted?
No.
Cute.
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't know why I like that, but I like that.
Speaking of kids shows, although Ender's Game not really appropriate for kids, but
touted as a kids book in the 80s and 90s though.
I know they did, yeah. He kills a kid by kicking him in the balls, right?
Yep.
Well, no, the kid, like, falls and hits his head after that. But the kid did try to beat him up, so.
I know.
Just fair saying, self-defense. Don't bully kids.
Don't do it. Amazon is unlocking streaming rights to a bunch of kids' shows for free, so you can stream those without having an Amazon Super Prime cool. account. And then CBS is gifting Star Trek Picard. You have to sign up for CBS All Access, but you can do that on a trial basis with the code GIFT, G-I-F-T, and see Star Trek Picard. The season finale is this week on Thursday, I believe. We got some casting news. Rosario Dawson will play Ahsoka Tano in The Mandalorian Season 2.
That's exciting.
Very exciting. Apparently, this has wrapped filming, so it won't be affected, hopefully, release date-wise, if they're able to do the post-production work that they need. That's slated for October. David Lynch's film, The Straight Story, of course, we love David Lynch here on the podcast, his 1999 film, The Straight Story, live-action film rated G, coming to Disney Plus in April. So have your kids watch that, right?
Oh my god, no. Why would you even watch that?
I saw it in the theater in 99.
I'm so sorry for you.
I know, me too.
How did you get back
to
your life after that?
I got back on my lawnmower and rode home.
Oh dear.
So, one interesting story, there's kind of a think piece that Disney's temporary firing of James Gunn may have a silver lining. So the movie that was supposed to come out this May instead of Black Widow was
Guardians 3.
Again.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. So given that that is probably going to have important ramifications for the MCU, and delaying it would have upset their timeline perhaps more than the prequel story Black Widow, it may be a good thing that it didn't work out that way. There's got to be a silver lining to everything, right?
Yeah.
Sometimes it's just shit news.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So one might assume, as my wife did, she said, oh, you probably don't have to watch any trailers this week because there's nothing new coming out. Wrong.
Yeah, what the
so
man?
What we're going to do is go through some trailers, and this is all for stuff you can watch at home. Nothing that is theatrical release, even the movies we'll talk about. So this is all stuff coming up in the next month or so that you can watch at home. So
Quibi is becoming a thing for real now?
So Quibi is becoming a thing for real. We'll get to that in a second. Yeah. So What We Do in the Shadows got a full trailer. I know we've done some snippets. I just love this show, so I wanted to highlight that again. That comes to FX on the 15th of April. We got a full trailer for Run, which is an HBO series.
I still have no fucking idea what this is about, but I'm intrigued.
Nope. Yeah, I'm into it. It looks fun. It's by the creator of Fleabag, and she's in it.
Ghost in the Shell. That looks
good.
Yeah,
I think Run is going to be cool. So I watched the trailer for Ghost in the Shell, SAC 2045, which is in Japanese.
Yeah,
but I don't know if they'll
subtitle.
Yeah,
and I couldn't figure out what the heck was happening. So, talk to me.
I got
to
give it a few episodes. I mean, it still feels like an old. Do you know any of the other Ghost in the Shell, the original Ghost in the Shell?
Not really, which is a failing on my part.
No, not necessarily. But I mean, if it goes along those same lines, it's robots and consciousness in robots and people transferring bodies. It's kind of Altered Carbon-y.
Okay.
So I have to give it at least a few episodes just because it's Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, but the problem is that Ghost in the Shell was at the forefront of amazing animation. And everything they did, even the TV series, the TV show Standalone Complex, the animation was part, the quality of the animation and all that was part of the DNA of the show. This looks like generic Star Wars TV show Saturday morning
cartoon. Yeah, it
cartoon.
Does a little bit. That's why I got to at least give it a few.
Yeah, I guess so. But man, I was looking at this and I was like, I'm not playing Borderland. I'm watching Ghost in the Shell.
Ghost in the Shell is the first anime I ever owned. So like, I have to give it a chance. Have to.
I know, it's in the same universe, blah, blah, blah.
Shut up. No. It's not even that line anymore. At least not this time.
Liar.
All right, so let's talk about Quibi. Like Beef said, it's a new streaming service promising 10-minute episodes, new episodes every day, things you can watch on the can.
That's going to suck because like, if you find something you like, let's say they have a 20-episode season. That is done in like 2.5 hours. Poof. Uh-huh. You're done.
I guess.
I don't know. I mean,
yeah, what's your point? It's a movie. Yeah, just be happy. Yeah.
Ew, I'm just saying, you know, our need for content nowadays is whatever. Anyways.
If you need content right now, you can stream Days of Our Life from start to finish. That's going to take you 485 days in a row, nonstop. That's content, man.
No sleep. So what could we watch on Quibi?
Murder House Flip.
Ooh.
I think it's
Murder House Flip. Not Murder House Flip. Because that implies that we're committing murder while flipping a house. Murder House is a house that a murder has happened in, and we're flipping it and selling it.
You're right.
Right.
I guess I didn't have the wrong breath there. Either way, the concept is awesome.
The first ones sound like a better TV show, I'm just saying.
So the idea here is that there are houses in which murders or multiple murders have occurred, and they're in desirable locations, and the market is tough, or at least it was. So people want to live there, right?
They're
going to do a little renovation, get rid of the bad juju.
If you can get a $500,000 house for $100,000.
Yep. You just got to dig the bodies up yourself, man.
You might find parts.
Uh-huh. They're like, and now you shower in the bathtub where he dismembered her. Okay.
You would be surprised how okay I am with this bullshit. I'm like, it's a space. Once the thing is not in the space anymore, whatever. Uh-huh.
Yep. The next one is Survive.
This looks kind of interesting. This is with the eldest Stark daughter.
Yeah, so Sophie Turner.
Thank you. Jesus.
From Game of Thrones or X-Men Dark Phoenix.
No, the first one. Let's.
And she is suicidal. And then she's going to commit suicide on an airplane, and the plane crashes.
I was getting very lost vibes when she goes in the bathroom with a pile of drugs on an airplane.
Yep. And then she survives, and her seatmate survives, who she kind of has made a connection with. And then it's their quest to get back to civilization.
I'm excited for that.
Didn't I say a version of that in the 90s was based on a true story? It's like, okay, they added like,
you mean
the girl that's
the
societal.
Soccer team or what?
Yeah, there you
Alive.
Go.
Alive.
I think you're right.
Yeah. So this is one. And then obviously we know Reno 911, the Comedy Central series. but it's getting a revival on Quibi, and there are squirrels in the crawl space, and they're singing.
Singing, I believe, yes.
So that's a good scene.
That
kind of feels like what the episodes will be like. Like it'll just be a little sketch, like one scene, and then you just go to the next one.
Yeah, I don't know. I used to like Reno 911. Maybe I don't know if I'm going to sign up for this service just because, but we'll see.
Okay.
I don't even know what Reno 911 is. I figured it was like some kind of comedy stuff from America. So meh.
Well, you're not wrong.
Meh. He usually is.
Definitely some comedy stuff from America. So, movies that you can watch at home. The first one coming to Netflix on April 3rd is Coffee and Kareem.
So bad. The name is just...
This is sort of a cop and a half. So Ed Helms plays a cop dating Taraji P. Henson, and her son basically wants to kill him, and hilarity ensues, right?
Yeah, because he heard them having sex or something, so he's, you know, going to take it upon himself to teach this cop a lot. I don't know.
And then he starts a gang war.
Yeah, pretty much.
So that's a thing. We got a full trailer for the Beastie Boys story Apple TV Plus April 24th. Yeah, it looks great. It sounds great.
But it's on Apple TV.
But it's on Apple TV Plus. So this is also directed by Spike Jonze, who's somebody who we like here on the podcast.
Do we?
We do. We like him for directing such films as Being John Malkovich and starring in such films as Three Kings.
Good point. Okay.
Okay.
So we do.
And then finally today we got the extended preview for Bloodshot, the first 9 minutes of the film. Sony has put this on video on demand as of today, 3/24, so you can watch Bloodshot on demand. Mm-hmm. I watched the first 9 minutes of the film, and I gotta say, I'm good.
They're desperate.
You're done? You don't need to see anymore? You're good, or you're good and you'll
get it? Like I'm good. I don't feel like I need to pay more to see the rest of the film.
Okay. That happens, I guess. I mean, this...
Like, how do you guys feel?
I haven't seen the 9 minutes.
I feel exactly the way you do. And the way that the studio is trying to shove this down our throat, they really want us to see this. So it tells me that there's something wrong. It looks bad, let's be honest.
I don't know. I haven't watched it, but the trailers, I thought, kind of got better and better with time. So who knows?
Yeah. So that is trailer dump and news. We've had some free time, so we've been checking out some stuff. Beef, what are you watching?
So Westworld is back, so I've been cramming on season 3, which is great and delicious, confusing and fun. Hobbs and Shaw. I was flipping around the gift that keeps on giving, which is HBO, and I decided to watch Hobbs and Shaw. And it's stylistic. The way it's cut together is fun. It's upbeat. It's interesting. It's pretty long in the tooth. We've seen most of it. And then we get to like the last 45 minutes. And it really gets entertaining. I also really, really like What's-Her-Face. The pretty blonde lady that's in it. I don't even know her name. All I can think of is Pretty Blonde Lady. So that happened.
But does it get interesting?
Yes, it does. It's Home Alone on an Island. Then I watched The Man That Fell.
There you go.
Then I watched Man from Earth. It's a low-grade sci-fi flick on Amazon Prime. It's about a Cro-Magnon man that somehow has lived till present time. And it's a thought piece, right? There's no real special effects. It's just it's college professors sitting around talking with a college professor who has just shared this secret with them. And then Lobster had to go and introduce me to Mythic Quest from Apple TV. And I'm like halfway through episode 8, and it's
cool.
It's stupid fun.
It is stupid fun, yeah. So the actress that you like from Hobbs and Shaw, Vanessa Kirby.
Thank you.
She's also in the Mission Impossible, recent Mission Impossible. She was in The Crown. Did the fact that Ryan Reynolds was in that movie surprise you?
Yes, and I was not opposed to it. He randomly popped up, and when he had the same ink as What's-His-Face.
He's so good in this bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, God, he's good.
Spoilers for Hobbs and Shaw, which is a movie I think is a perfect film because it is so ridiculous and dumb. And basically, it takes what the Fast and Furious films have become and velocipastors that shit. It's like, yep. You know what? Like, fucking forget it. Rules of physics, doesn't matter.
Oh, when they're doing flips with the cars later on, yep, off the buildings and shit. I'm like, oh, yep.
That makes no sense.
But you know what, though? The fact that they were just like, oh, you know, I'm Black Superman, and they like had a transforming motorcycle and nanites or whatever. It was perfect.
Yep.
Perfect.
The problem with this movie is around 25 to 30 minutes too long.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Home Alone on an island. Like, come on.
That point, I'm already like watching my watch and being like, what the hell is this shit? You know, and I'm starting to question the movie. I need to have a good Fast and Furious movie makes me have my refrigerator moment while I'm starting the car, not while I'm in the movie. Well, I'm in the movie, I'm like, they jumped that building.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm running the car. Wait, that doesn't make sense. You know?
So I finished Castlevania Season 3, which was epic and amazing, and 10 episodes. I saw people complaining online that it was too long and not enough action, but this show just lives in the characters.
Oh, yeah.
And Game of Thrones, that shit. Come on, it's amazing.
I am totally all for it. The culmination of it was pretty awesome.
Would you
call it
the climax, even?
I climaxed at least twice. The scene where Hector is fighting his way through the city of the body snatchers.
Oh, yeah.
And basically getting smacked by a giant hand of people. That was
pretty
cool.
It was very
Akira. Yeah. And then the basically fighting Cthulhu at the end in the chapel and opening the gateway to hell, like that was some trippy bullshit.
That was like the greatest fight scene at the end there, where she took all the like pieces of ice and shot them straight up. Yeah.
Spoiler free review. Sorry. And then they all died. So that's the end. They're not going to make any more. But Barry on HBO. So if you've not watched this is Bill Hader from SNL. He plays a hitman who discovers he wants to be an actor, and it is by turns hilarious and also brutally violent. Season 2 is so good. We had been kind of holding off on watching this, but it became like we've been putting together lists of shows we want to catch up on while we're social distancing. So that was one of them. And then I've been making my way slowly through Mythic Quest Raven's Banquet, and I watched episode 5, which is totally kind of outside the main storyline. And I immediately recommended it to Beef and said, start with this episode, because it stars Jake Johnson, who, as mentioned previously, Beef is in love with.
Yep.
Man crush for sure. And Christine Milotti, who is the mom, the mother from How I Met Your Mother, and from the Black Mirror Star Trek episode that she's in and whatnot. Also awesome. Also on the crush list, I think. Them two together making a video game in the 90s and everything that goes with that. So that was a lot of fun. Kind of a cool place to start with the show. And then you can go back and start with episode 1 and watch the rest. And Beef, is that what you did?
Yep. I followed your lead, and I liked episode 5 so much. I'm like, wow, this is fun. This is interesting. And then I start episode 1 and I'm like, wait a minute, what? This is
different. When you come to that episode halfway through, that's weird too.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, no, it absolutely would be. And then it caught me off guard, and I'm like, okay, just let it happen. It's gonna be good, and It's fun. I mean, it's about people. It's a video game developer, the inside jokes.
And it's an office comedy and social commentary and Pootie Shoe.
Pootie Shoe. I love Pootie Shoe. I want to be the next Pootie Shoe.
Relationship like that. Just let it happen. Let it happen. Oh, my God.
I want to be the next Pootie Shoe.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I do. 10 million followers. Are you nuts?
For sure, right? Wing?
Oh, my God. Well, as we said, I was supposed to be on vacation, which I am. But instead of filling them with parties and travel, I'm going to fill them with video games. So a friend of mine was gracious enough to lend me a PS4, which was one of the things that I was looking at these days just to play a couple of games. So got God of War, got the demo for Final Fantasy VII Remake, which is freaking awesome. I played that in an evening, and oh my God. Oh my God, this is just great. Can't wait for April 10. And Animal Crossing came out on Friday, and my life has been living that virtual little cube.
Yeah,
world,
I think so. Nintendo might be behind the pandemic, because they timed that very well.
Is it timed well enough? Yes, I think it is. So I've been just looking at cuter version of everything that I own and trying to build that little island in the last 3 days. I don't even know how many hours I've passed on the game, because this is the kind of game where you're like, oh, I need to watch the Velocipaster. Let's just grab my Switch. Put that after 5 minutes, be like, yeah, I can keep catching bugs while this movie goes.
Right.
Yeah, maybe if next week we watch something a little bit more substantial, I won't be doing that, but... You know, so...
Well, we kind of are.
Oh, yeah. So, what are we watching next week?
Oh, you're, like, jumping the gun.
We are. We're just going to go there.
Next week. Next time. Legends Podcast. Booksmart. I think you've seen this already, right, Lobster?
Yeah, so this is a teen comedy. Came out last year, directed by Olivia Wilde.
Yeah.
And really, really fun. I would sell it as... the female version of I'm blanking on the name of the movie.
Superbad.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yep. So, but better.
Okay.
Well,
I'm
intrigued, because you know Olivia Wilde, and I like smart comedies. I like comedies. So,
I don't. But
yeah, that's why this should be fun. Hopefully, you like this one.
I think you will.
Have a comment, question, or recommendation? Email us, legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That's podcasts with an extra S for St. Francisaurus.
St. Francisaurus, very good.
This has been episode 465 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, woohoo, more robots taking over the world.
I'm John D saying, don't spoil it. I'm very excited. I'm watching it just before the show. You know that.
And I'm Lobster saying, rawr, Velocipaster, rawr.
Damn you, autocorrect.
Velociraptor.
Got it. Rat bastard.
Rat pastor.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. You can also send us an email to legendspodcasts@gmail.com. That is podcast, plural. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com. You can also visit legendspodcast.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on the show is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at incomputech.com. The opinions on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legendstream Canada or Gunna Geek. No infringement is intended.